In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Unless you think my watch is a month ahead or that I'm somehow crazy, well, I may be, but that's not in this case. Today is the first day of the church's liturgical year, the year of grace. And so, today we begin the celebration of Advent. And you may say, Advent? What's that? I thought it was Christmas season. No! Christmas does not start until the evening of the 24th of December. Until then, we have Advent. Advent where we meditate upon the coming of our Lord. That's where the name Advent comes from. It comes from the Latin word advenire, which means to come to. So we're talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, prior to New Year, we were meditating upon the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. This is all summed up in the great feast of Christ, the King of the universe. But now we meditate upon the coming of the Lord. To prepare ourselves for what? To prepare ourselves for Christmas. Because the bigger the feast, the longer the preparation. So before Easter, we have the penitential season of Holy Lent. And before Advent, we have the season, before Christmas rather, we have the season of Advent. But, interestingly enough, when we begin Advent, we're not meditating upon the coming of our Lord 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. Rather, instead, we are meditating upon his coming in glory at the end of time, where he brings to completion what he started through his incarnation 2,000 years ago. Now, this is obviously related to the four last things, but at this time we focus upon the just judge, the one who will come in glory to judge heaven and earth and the world by fire, the one who comes to bring the work of redemption to an end and the completion, to bring final healing. We pray for the end of the world. We look forward to the end of the world. We hope for the end of the world. We pray for it. And the sooner the better. Now, when you tell that to most people, they look at you like you were from Mars. Say, you want the end of the world? The end of the world's bad, isn't it? You know, if you look at most apocalyptic fiction, whether it's science fiction or fantasy or on the TV or in books, you find that people are trying to avoid the end of the world. Well, we as Christians are not trying to avoid the end of the world. We want it to happen. We want it to happen and right soon. Because that means that the Lord will return in glory. That all evil will be cast out into the fiery pit, especially the devil and his angels. That all the traces of Adam's sin will be removed, and we will be able to see God face to face. That's why in the Our Father we say, Thy kingdom come. We echo the words that we heard in our first reading. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you. While you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such as have not been heard from of old. We echo the words of the early church, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We want the end of the world. And yet, we are told to be watchful and alert, and to have some trepidation. You know, it's okay to have a little bit of fear about the end of the world. Because guess what? We will be judged. And it is possible that we may not be judged well. You know, everyone these days seems to assume that they're going to be judged well. That it doesn't matter what they did, God will forgive them whether they repented or not. Everyone's going to heaven. Have you heard that? Everyone's going to heaven? Hear that on TV, maybe you've read it. that there is a hell, but it's empty? That is nonsense. At the very least, hell will contain the devil and his angels. At the very least, it will contain Judas Iscariot, and probably some other people too. After all, why would our Lord talk about separating the sheep from the goats if there were no goats and only sheep? Universalism, that's the assumption that everyone will be saved, is a heresy. It is contrary to sacred scripture and it has been condemned by the church. Now, that doesn't mean that any of us know who's going to hell and who isn't. What it should do is have us work so that as few people go to hell as possible, beginning with who? The person you see in the mirror. We need to work for conversion of life so that we will obey the words of the Lord. What did he tell us in today's gospel? Be watchful, be alert. And how are we watchful and how are we alert? Well, the first thing is to be alert for all of the wonderful gifts of grace that God wants to give us each and every day. You know, how many of the gifts of grace that we accept is just a small portion. And yet God showers them upon us. You know, God gives us more than enough grace that each and every one of us could be one of the canonized saints. Wouldn't that be awesome if we were the parish of the canonized saints, where everyone who died here was lifted up to the dignity of the altar because we're all so holy? Well, God gives us enough grace for that. And you know what? If that were true, we'd pay off the debt in no time. God gives us the grace and we need to accept it. That's one of the ways that we're watchful and alert. Another way is by turning from sin. One of the big things today is people are really good at looking at other people's sins and not so good at seeing their own. Look in the mirror. See those sins and turn from them. Don't make excuses for them. Turn from them. Stop doing them with God's help. Repent. And lastly, live the gospel. Our Lord gave us his teaching for a very good reason, so that we could be holy, so that we could be watchful and alert, so that when he calls us, we are ready. I want to echo the words of our Lord when he said, "May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.